And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Week 10 is upon us. Pete Jensen and Nick Alberga back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, looking at all the best waiver wire pickups around the league. NHL Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. What's going on, Nick?
You're right, not too much. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. I'm in a holiday mood today. I'm feeling good. It's Christmas season. We're feeling great about the fantasy campaign and so happy to bring in the one and only Anna Dua. How was your weekend, Anna?
It's been great. I'm feeling great. Great start to the week. My coffee's at a cool 185 degrees, so everything's going phenomenal right now.
Educated. We love that. Producer Bob Bender educating us behind the scenes. Speaking of education, the Buffalo Sabres, Anna, Jack Quinn is catching fire. We discussed last week if he can get back involved in the Calder conversation, but that's good news for the Sabres, right?
Rightfully so. I mean, he's found something that's worked. The Sabres have found something that's worked, and he's fourth among rookies right now in points. He has 16 and 23 games, and he's kind of sneaking in there in that little race over there. And he's found something that works with Dylan Cousins, who Pete said a bunch of times he's having a breakout season right now for the Buffalo Sabres. And their offense, I mean, they have the second most goals for per game in the entire NHL right now with 3.86. So even if they're not winning games, this is a team you really want to capitalize on.
And one team, Anna, that hasn't been getting as much praise against this, you know, compared to the Sabres, because they got lit up the other day against them, but they've actually been scoring some goals behind the scenes, right, Nick? The Columbus Blue Jackets, and they're splitting up their lines. They got Johnny Gaudreau on one line with Boone Jenner, and then on a separate duo, Jack Roslovic has exploded over the past couple of games playing with Patrick Laine. Maybe that's the scoring depth, Nick, that Columbus has been striving for and maybe could yield some better results on the ice and in fantasy?
Yeah, surprise, surprise, Pete. I'm not sold. Roslovic does this every season. I like the fact that they're trying to spread the wealth. Boone Jenner's been a beast, by the way, but certainly I think this is great. I think when you look at Roslovic, I think fantasy owners haven't caught on just yet. You look at his percent rostered, it's not very, very high right now. But if this keeps up, I think people will jump aboard. But I'm skeptical, Anna. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I'm a bit skeptical right now, as long as it lasts. I mean, if you want to pick him up for the short term, might as well. He's over a point per game player in his past six games, 8 points in that stretch. But I don't know how long it's going to last. I feel like eventually they're just going to go back to the Gaudreau, Boone Jenner, and Patrick Laine line, because Boone Jenner is a phenomenal player and he's found something that's worked right now. And I feel like they might take advantage of that in a little bit. But for this week, it's worth picking up on him.
I definitely agree. And Pete, I want to tee you up for the next one, because this is your guy. We all got guys for sure. Alex Newhook of the Colorado Avalanche, a team just decimated with injuries. You know, I wonder if they brought guys back before they were ready. You know, Lekkonen, certainly Valnichushkin back in the mix. But Alex Newhook, what can you tell me about him?
Well, he's getting it going here production wise, regardless of lineup placement over his past three or four games. Chipped in another assist yesterday or Saturday. I think that Newhook is just poised to benefit over time if Jared Bednar, Anna, gives him the reins to play in the top six, to get some power play time. He chipped in a power play point the other day. And the cool thing about him is, even if he's not with Mikko Rantanen on the top line, he's probably going to be with either Nichushkin or Lekkonen, each of whom have proved so far this season that when healthy, they're must-own players in fantasy.
I'm a little worried just because of his lineup placement largely. I feel like because of how decimated the Colorado Avalanche are, like Nick said, they might go top heavy and they might try to stack their top line with Rantanen, Nichushkin, getting Lekkonen up there. And then where do we have Newhook? Who's he playing with? If he's not in the top six, is he a player that I'm really watching? Not so much right now. I like the Colorado Avalanche, but at this point in the year, I focus more on teams that maybe aren't playoff teams, but are still producing offensively, and focus on their players instead of a strong team overall with a player like Newhook.
That sets us up perfectly for the next guy, Alexander Barabanov. We've talked about this guy once in a while through the years, but he's playing with Logan Couture second line, but he's playing first power play, and he's tied for the San Jose Sharks lead with Erik Karlsson in power play points with 9. Honestly, haven't been paying a ton of attention to that, most of the league could say, but I mean, I think Barabanov, like with that type of exposure, and the Sharks, even when they lose, sometimes they score 3, 4, 5 goals. I mean, they're a wacky team in a way, but Barabanov is a big beneficiary so far.
Yeah, I think it's important to stress that we don't mean long term when we look at some of these guys. But I think in the short term, when you're looking for production, when you're looking for busy slates, I think you look at Barabanov. I won't lie. He's sometimes the guy I'll pick up as a cheeky stream for like a 2-3-4 day stretch because I know what he can do in that top six. He's come a far way, by the way. He used to be like a healthy scratch for the Maple Leafs. Now he's playing in the top six consistently with the San Jose Sharks and has really found his way, like another one of those understudies coming over from the KHL. And I think there's actually significant value in this player right now, Anna. Just more, as Pete mentioned, the attachment and the production he's been putting up lately.
There is. And on waiver wire pickups, I always look at who they're playing with. And he's playing with Logan Couture right now. And I think we need to talk about how good of a season he's having. He has 14 goals in 30 games, almost a point per player, just four off, 26 points in 30 games this season. So he's playing with a player who's having a bounce back year right now. So I'm looking at Barabanov as someone to pick up just largely because of his lineup placement, too.
For sure. And he has 16 assists. So he's helping you if you're looking at props out there for guys and teams that not many people are flocking to. Certainly a good one to keep an eye on. And he's up to 19 points in 26 games on the season. Guys, we got some big injury news and guys returning, right? Chris Letang came back much earlier than expected. That's great to see. But then Jeff Petrie got injured on Saturday. So that offsets a little bit. Freddie Anderson, Anna, for the Canes, who I know you're really high on. He's nearing a return. He's practicing. Drew Doughty was out. That things get even worse for the LA Kings, who have been surrendering a ton of goals. Which injury development from over the weekend catches your eye and do you think is the biggest fantasy news of the weekend?
I feel like right now the biggest has to be Chris Letang. What a great start to the holiday season for the Pittsburgh Penguins, just having Letang healthy and back. But talking more along the waiver wire, a player that a lot of people probably haven't had rostered, he's at 22% right now. Dmitry Orlov is coming back from injury, and the Washington Capitals have finally found something. They won a couple of games recently. They've been putting up goals. The team has found something that works after I really thought that they were going to be completely out of playoff contention maybe 2 weeks ago. And Dmitry Orlov's back, and he's a player that usually picks up points. He has good lineup placement. He sometimes finds a slot as a secondary production player on the power play. So that's a player that I'm really targeting as an injury return on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Alex Ovechkin will get to 892 just with empty netters. And I was going to dedicate this podcast to Charlie Lindgren, who we pimped on last week's episode. 4-1-0 in the last five, 1.83 and 937. Darcy Kemper on injured reserve. So I think if you're looking for a goalie stream, you look at Charlie Lindgren. Some other guys we have on the board, Pete, Dan Vladar. Certainly, I think the number one right now for the Calgary Flames goes without saying. And Philip Gustafson has really picked up the slack with Marc-Andre Fleury struggling since coming off IR here.
Right. And Anna, I wanted to ask you, because I know you're a big Fleury fan, supporter, advocate, but Philip Gustafson with his first shutout the other day and has been playing a lot lately. Are winning a lot lately, I should say. He has room to get more into the playing time department, but do you worry at all about Fleury struggling and this evening out a little bit? Because the Wild are playing well all of a sudden. I think 7 wins in their past 10 games.
Yeah, they are. Their offense has found something going. Joel Eriksson and Kirill Kaprizov really standing out right now. But with Marc-Andre Fleury, I think I've reached the point in the year where I have to say I am very, very worried about him just because he's consistently posting sub 0.90 save percentages. And even if he turns it around, is it really worth hanging on to him when there are so many goalies that are getting on the scene right now that are maybe worth picking up, like Vladar, like Gustafson, if you want to look at the Minnesota Wild specifically, but even other teams. Like Nick just mentioned Lindgren, he's really finding something that works with the Washington Capitals. If he gets playing time, that's a player I'm looking at. And I've talked about Pyotr Kochetkov enough, but that's a goalie that I think has saved a lot of fantasy rosters if you picked him up recently, because he's been playing really well. So at this point, Fleury is not standing out above the rest for me. Even if he turns it around, I don't think it's worth taking that risk.
And Pete, backtracking to your question as well, and I totally agree with you, Anna. Like, you look at the Carolina conundrum. I do think it's a conundrum. You look at three goalies again for two spots. You look at Kochetkov, what he's done since Freddie Anderson went down. Now he's resurfaced. What would you do, Pete? Like, I just think you look at the best goaltending option right now, and I actually think it's Kochetkov.
Yeah, it is for sure. I'm really curious to see if they are forced to squeeze him out when you think about with Ranta and Anderson, when Anderson comes back. To me, if I'm the Hurricanes, you got to try to find a way to make it Freddie Anderson and Kochetkov as your goalie duo for the rest of the season. No disrespect to Antti Ranta, but really with Kachetkov getting the shutout the other day against the Islanders and just kind of masking a lot of things that have gone wrong for that team over the past couple of weeks, despite their injuries. And when they get guys back, I feel like at different points in the season, like Kachetkov is going to help get that team to where they belong, which is the Stanley Cup final. So I'm not saying he's going to get there all by himself, but I think he can help injury-riddled Freddie Anderson over time. That could be a really good combination compared to what they had in the playoffs last year.
I think we're going to be talking pretty soon about how Freddie Anderson is helping Kachetkov, because I agree with Nick. I think right now you got to give Kachetkov the starting nod, even if Anderson's back. I mean, this guy's only lost one game in regulation since playing on the Canes this season. And granted, he's only played 11 games, so it's not been the longest sample size ever. But at the same time, he's done a lot for this team. He's really helped them win big games where maybe the rest of the team wasn't playing that well, has overshot some injury concerns they had. I mean, Sebastian Aho was out for that Islander game, and Kachetkov still ended up getting a shutout, even though the Islanders didn't have that many shots on net that game. But still, the way he's playing, can you really take him out of the crease even if Anderson's back? I don't think so.
No, I agree. Like, Pete, what was my bold prediction in our bold prediction show? That Kochetkov would start the first game of the Stanley Cup playoffs for Carolina. I'm sticking with that. Man, I just got a lot of faith in the dude right now.
I like that one a lot. And Kochetkov, very quietly, 9-1-4 in 14 games in his NHL career. Really impressive. Sky is the limit for him in the years to come. Couple other developments I wanted to get to. Jeff Skinner suspended 3 games, already served one of them. Casey Mittelstadt had 3 assists the other day. Maybe we give him a look, Anna, in the short term as a stream for the hot Buffalo Sabres offense. And then the other one is, you know, James Van Riemsdyk, Philadelphia Flyers. I think we've been talking behind the scenes a little bit, Anna, about how the Flyers have provided some nice fantasy value with guys like Kevin Hayes and Konechny and some of these other guys. But now that they have JVR back as well on the power play, he just had a 4-point game the other day.
He did. I'm cautious with the Flyers just because I feel like there's a lot of players that go on hot streaks, but the team as a whole, it just doesn't set them up for success with that environment. But a player like Kevin Hayes or Travis Konechny, these are guys who have performed well. Travis Konechny has consistently been one of the best, if not the best player on the Philadelphia Flyers over the past few seasons. So it's worth picking up on those guys if they're showing consistency, because you know that they've been able to perform in tough environments before. But I'm still a bit cautious on a hot streak like JVR if he can actually hold it for a consistent period of time.
Couple things on Philadelphia. Pete, you were right on Anthony DeAngelo. Shocker, 25 games in, he's butting heads with John Tortorella. And I think along those lines, I'd feel the same way. I'd pick my spots at Philadelphia. I just want to tie up some loose ends when it comes to waiver looks this week. Couple guys on Toronto I would look at as well, Pete. Rasmus Sandin, obviously on the point with Morgan Riley out. And Michael Bunting, quietly, an 8-game point streak. He's in a contract year. And, of course, the attachment is there to Austin Matthews and William Nylander in the top 6.
Yeah, Anna, we're going to have to get Bunting back into the top 200 rankings this week. And kudos to you. I sided with Giordano a couple of weeks ago. You were all over Rasmus Sandin. I should have known. I mean, it was the time that they could finally give him the usage that they deserved. Yeah. I was just a little skeptical of the Maple Leafs to go with the veteran like they have through the years. But to their credit, they're putting him out there power play one. And over time, not only just on the power play, he's got a great plus minus since Riley went down, right?
He does. And he's also covering hits as well. So I like the way Sandin's playing right now. And to be honest, it would be crazy to say this when Riley went down, but I think the Maple Leafs are actually kind of playing better without him in the lineup right now, because Sandin's filled that role pretty well. And a lot of that team has really covered that hole that they're missing. But yeah, I agree with Michael Bunting as well. He's playing with Austin Matthews, but it's not even just the attachment to Austin Matthews. He's creating a lot of plays, and he's a big part of the reason why Austin Matthews has found some momentum going right now. I mean, Michael Bunting's responsible for a lot of the plays that end up in Austin Matthews' goals or points at this moment. So that's a player that I think is really carrying the offense in a way right now. And he's a player that I would look at picking up. And Sandin, I mean, it doesn't even have to be said, only 28% rostered right now, top power play for the Maple Leafs. You got to pick him up.
Weirdly, the two quietest stories right now in the NHL are involving the Maple Leafs. A 14-game point streak, which is 2 off the team record, by the way. And Mitch Marner has notched a point in 22 straight games. I think it just speaks about that market. They haven't lost a game in regulation since November 11th. It's been a mighty turnaround, Pete, but we've seen this time and time again. They're a really good regular season team. That's about it, right?
Yeah, and they got through that time when Murray and Samsonov were both banged up, and now they're both back, and they've both been efficient this season, casting their doubters like myself and Anna aside. And doing a really nice job and proving a lot of people right that had them as a, you know, contender for the President's Trophy and that type of stuff. Again, could this be fool's gold? Again, when they get to the playoffs, it's a different style. That's when we're going to learn about these Maple Leafs. But it's fun to see them redeem themselves a little bit and get back up fighting after another playoff disappointment last year.
I just have to say, I've watched a lot of Washington Capitals hockey, and I've watched a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey, and I've heard all of these things being said about Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov at different periods of time, and it ended very poorly. So it's just a warning sign right now that even if they have a great regular season, you never know what's going to happen with this goalie tandem. They've done well so far. I'm still not sold completely. 2023, they got to still prove it to me. I'm still a doubter.
One other guy, Anna, that I wanted to bring up, the LA Kings, I mentioned it earlier, Doughty injured, they're giving up a ton of goals, they have a bad penalty kill, things that we've come to know about this team through the years, even during the rebuild, are not the case so far this season. Jonathan Quick is, I mean, it's time that they turn the page at some point. Maybe it's not going to happen this year, but he's just not cutting it anymore. Cal Peterson's in the AHL. Phoenix Copley has been winning some games left and right since he was recalled. Are you buying him at all? Are you staying clear of this Kings defense right now?
I think at this point there are better options to pick up, so I'm staying clear of the Kings. I think they're a team that is going to regress. They were actually quite high in the standings to start the year off. They were pretty consistently up there, but there's just a lot of concerns that I have with this team right now, and other teams in the Western Conference are really picking up the pace at the moment. So I'm worried about the Kings. I'm staying clear.
Yeah, I don't think they ever forecasted in their wildest dreams that Phoenix Copley, the former backup of the Washington Capitals and others, would be their backup goalie right now. I don't know if this is entirely on Jonathan Quick. They've been a train wreck since game one of the season defensively. And I think until they rectify that, and we've got a lot of questions the last couple of weeks about what to do with Jonathan Quick, his stock is plummeting, and understandably so. I think you're holding right now on Quick, and you're hoping for the best here in the second half for Los Angeles. Because, Pete, they proved last year that they can be a really, really good team defensively. Just hasn't clicked so far this year. And then you add the Doughty situation into it. It's not good right now.
I mean, they can score. We know that they have a good offense, three strong lines, right? They're top 10 offense in the league, 3.39 goals per game as of Monday. So that's impressive. You're going to get some goal support. I mean, with Quick, I don't know why people still even have him in fantasy right now, because I mean, I loved him through the years. I thought that even last year he was an unsung hero for that team, but he has just been, he's been pretty bad so far. So I probably would have dropped Quick if I had him in the first place a couple of weeks ago. So if you still have him, try to go out and get Vladar or Philip Gustafson or even Copley, if you want to handcuff him and be faithful to the Kings. I mean, I don't know that that's going to work out for you though.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble right now, but again, a lot can change in the standings. Anna, excellent job as per usual. I guess we won't talk till after Christmas, right? Unless we have an episode in a couple weeks from now.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well then, Merry Christmas.
You as well. Thanks so much for this.
Thanks, Pete and Nick. Fun as always.
So Nick, we're approaching right the halfway point in the season, and I was doing a little digging. I found some interesting names that I think players that have 9+ goals at this point it's pretty impressive. So there were a couple surprising names. I saw Ilya Mikheyev, even with missing a little bit of time for Vancouver, has 9 goals. Zach Parise has 9 goals on the third line for the Islanders. Connor Sheary has been seeing a lot of top 6 usage for the Caps while they were missing so many guys. He has 9 goals. And William Carrier for the Vegas Golden Knights has 9 goals. That's impressive. And we don't always shout out players in the middle 6. So I just wanted to mention those couple guys.
I like that. And be cognizant of that when you put your DFS lineups together, right? I think you're looking for value. You look at names like that who are not going to be overpriced, who I think at times are underpriced. So I really like that look. I think it's a good time to buy low when the windows are starting to close here a bit, Pete. Specifically on a guy like Elias Lindholm with the Calgary Flames, last 6 games, 3 goals, 7 points. And I know a lot's changed with Calgary and Florida respectively, but I think one thing is for sure, when you look at the Flames, there's a lot of untapped value, I would say, in the second half. When you look at Huberto, when you look at Toffoli, even a Mackenzie Weegar on the back end, and now obviously a Lindholm. I think Calgary is going to be a second half team here. I still got a lot of faith in them, believe it or not.
Yeah, I saw their 5-on-5 shooting percentage is really low. Their PDO is low. I mean, they're going to come out in full force at some point. They've already shown signs of it, like you said. Elias Lindholm is around the top 100 overall in fantasy because he has better than a hit per game. He's got 34 hits this year. So he has that kind of high floor. Well, even though it hasn't been the great times like it was with Tkachuk and Gaudreau last season, he's kind of just waiting there and lurking. And then once Huberto gets going or whoever he's playing with and the team explodes, he's going to be probably a top 50 finisher by the end of the season. So I really like that call to buy low on Lindholm because he doesn't bring like all the fanfare and glitz and stuff like that, but he gets it done more times than not over the years.
And I think on top of that, you know, the attachment's going to be there, right? You know, you know, number one, Sutter's in love with it. Number two, Huberto is going to be close behind. So we love the value on that front. So I know producer Bob loves the games here on the show. So I brought Folder Hold back. I think this is the first time in like 9 months. You brought me in to play games. I don't play games. I'm Captain Serious. But I'm going to list three names. You tell me to fold or hold, and we could put our minds in the perspective of a fantasy owner. We'll start with a guy we already talked about, Jonathan Quick. 23 goals against in his past five outings. He's now dipped below 70% rostered. Fold or hold on Jonathan Quick, Pete?
Probably fold. I think that the Kings, they're weird. Like even last year, they were not playing great at points during the regular season, and they were missing some key players because of injury. They still got into the playoffs. They still took the Oilers to game seven. I just don't think game to game that the save percentage, the goals against average, I don't think they're going to be pretty. They're still around. I think they're like 11th in possession this year. So that's carried over from last year. But again, Jonathan Quick and his contract's coming down to the wire, right? So again, I think there's going to be a turning of the page at some point. Maybe they address it in the trade market. But to answer your question, I am not rostering Jonathan Quick right now in fantasy.
Call me crazy, but maybe Seattle gets in instead of the Los Angeles Kings. I know there's a lot of racetrack still left in the season, but I'm still feeling that Kraken team. I'm going to hold on Jonathan Quick. And it's more so because I don't know who's out there on the waiver wire in your respective leagues. And I just don't think there's a guy who could be a number one like a Jonathan Quick. So I'm going to hold. The next guy I want to bring up, Riley Smith of the Vegas Golden Knights. Now pointless in four. I owned him for a good chunk of the season. I just dipped out the other day. He's not doing much anymore. Would you fold or hold on Riley Smith?
I would hold. I like a lot of those secondary guys in Vegas. I mean, Jonathan Marchessault, I was checking, is top 15 in the NHL in shots on goal. His goal streak just came to an end, but he's been producing nicely. Riley Smith, Chandler Stephenson, I mentioned Carrier. Like, they have these guys that have been there for years that are still focal points of the team. So I would hold on Riley Smith. And I like what I've seen from Vegas, like when they went into Boston and won that game, like the Golden Knights are back as an elite team. And then especially when they get Jack Eichel back from this little absence, they're going to be rocking and rolling. It's going to be fun to watch them in the playoffs again this year.
I agree. And weirdly, they're really, really struggling to score on home ice. And that's something they have to pick up. And obviously, it doesn't help when Eichel's not there and Pietrangelo and others. The last guy I want to bring up, Jamie Benn. You talk about turning back the clock. It's been a story, but he has one goal in his last seven games. Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars, fold or hold, Pete?
I'd probably hold. He's still covering categories. I like what he did earlier in the season on the power play. Even if you go into a slump, it's not going to be much of a slump for very long playing with the players that he's out there with more times than not on the first power play, like Robertson and Hintz and Pavelski and Haskinen and guys like that. Even if he's in a secondary role at even strength with a Sagan or without a Sagan, I like Jamie Benn. Rejuvenated season, 27 points in 28 games with 12 on the power play. Good shot total, 69. Good hit total. He does it all. So even when he dries up offensively, he's going to be chipping in those other categories nicely to get you through the day.
And of course, Ben now on the third line, but I'm with you. I'm holding on Jamie Benn as well. As we look forward to the week ahead, Pete, 54 games in total. We have 13 four-game teams. And the one team you want to stay away from if you're looking for waiver pickups is probably one you're staying away from anyways. It's the Vancouver Canucks. They play just twice this week.
Yeah, they drop some games sometimes. Like, I was watching that game other day. They were buzzing a little bit, but they just couldn't score a goal against Gustavsson in the Wild. And that one homestand, they really dropped the ball. So they're still kind of in the playoff mix, but they're kind of like Ottawa this year, where it's like they have a couple good games, then you get back on the bandwagon, then they disappoint you. So, yeah, very, very disappointed in the Vancouver Canucks this season. And then from your St. Louis Blues, who you're always pumping up, I think Josh Levo deserves a look.
Yeah.
He's actually playing with Ryan O'Reilly right now, who's been getting going offensively. Do you like that look, him in top six? Not something I would have expected.
No, it's not. But certainly, I think we know the MO of the Blues, especially under Craig Berube. I always love to bring this up, the depth, right? Where one guy can play on the fourth line one night, the other he's on the top line. And that's exactly the scenario with Josh Levo, where in like two games from now, he could be, you know, in the press box. I just think it shows the depth of the St. Louis Blues. And Pete, we talked about this a lot in the first 2 months. The buy low window for St. Louis is closing rapidly. You know how I feel about contract year Ryan O'Reilly. Tarasenko's in the mix as well. Clearly, you and I would both stay away from the net mining situation there. But this team can score goals, and I think the Blues have significant value in the fantasy season, specifically here in the second half. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think that even if they miss the playoffs, they're going to be putting up a ton of offense like they did last year when they were rolling three strong lines. They're a little worse this year without Perron, but they're still dangerous, and they don't have Buchnevich right now. He could come back as soon as Monday. They said he was 50-50 for Monday, so that's good news. They got Krug back yesterday, so the offense still has maybe another gear to reach, which could get them to the playoffs. Again, I don't see it. I didn't pick it in the preseason, but I could see it happen. They usually find a way to get there. One fan question I wanted to get to. Evan Bouchard, Nick, has been a big disappointment. I could ask you hold or fold on Bouchard, but someone's asking on Instagram, should I drop Bouchard for a category coverage guy like Keandre Miller? I wouldn't personally. I think there's a lot more offensive upside in Bouchard for the rest of the season, but Miller's category coverage speaks for itself, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think if it's a non-keeper, no doubt about it. I'm in a couple non-keepers and Evan Bouchard was cut like a month ago. We've talked about this a lot, Pete. Like, they're going to flip-flop back and forth between Tyson Berry and Bouchard. So there's going to be another moment, rest assured, where you're going to go back to the waiver wire. You're going to pick up Bouchard. He's going to be on a five-game point streak. And that's just the turbulence of a young defenseman. I hate to bring it up, like Moritz Seider is the same type of conversation right now with Detroit. Had an unbelievable rookie campaign. It's been turbulent. He's been overtaken here a bit by Filip Hronek. So I think the bigger picture is what you have to have in mind. Now, I'm not comparing Seider and Bouchard. I'm keeping Seider every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But with Bouchard, certainly in that conversation, Keandre Miller is the easy answer, Pete.
Yeah, Keandre Miller, 45 shots on goal, 59 hits, 9 assists. He's up to 10 points. He's playing 22-plus minutes a game for the Rangers, who have picked it up over the past couple of weeks, I would say. So that's good to see, because we all had high hopes for them. And then one other fan question related to the LA Kings. We've been talking ad nauseum about Jonathan Quick, but people are wondering about their skater group as well. Adrian Kempe, who was on the top line last season, is now centering the third line. Should I drop Adrian Kempe? What, are you cutting the cord here, Nick?
Yeah, so I got a question about that the other day as well. I am. I just think you look at the waiver wire guys like Michael Bunting. I just think there are guys who are producing more steadily right now. And I always like to put it this way when you get these type of questions, like, you know, even, you know, you look at some other guys who have had some really, really good starts and then come back to reality, a bit like Gabe Vilardi. It's not like somebody is jumping to the wire to pick these guys up, right? I think if a guy's struggling, I don't think somebody else is going to go pick him up. So I think you circle back down the road. So I would drop him, Pete.
Yeah, those Kings guys are a little tough, right?
Yeah.
Weekly basis, like 1 week you're jumping all over Arvidsson or Trevor Moore. Next week you're cutting the cord and picking up Philip Deneau. And then maybe you go back to the well with some of the other guys like Kaliev and Kempe. There are so many guys, but it's tough to pinpoint which guys are the best for the rest of the season. So maybe just flock to a different team for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we love offense here on the podcast. That's right.
So, Nick, great show as always. Thanks again to Anna Dua for hopping on. I'll be on with Michael Leboff on the NHL Action Network collab for Week 10. So definitely check that out. Have a great rest of the week, Nick, and we'll be back on Thursday.
You too. Can't wait to check it out, Pete.
For sure. So for Nick Alberga, Anna Dua, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And we'll talk to you on the other side.